Hello, this is Pastor Robert from Esterhazy Baptist Church in Esterhazy, Saskatchewan. Thank you for joining us today. This message is for the week of June 25th, 2023. We are continuing in our series, a One Another series. Today is praying with and for one another. The call to worship is from Psalm 145:17-19. And verse 21 from the Contemporary English Version. Our Lord, everything you do is kind and thoughtful, and you are near to everyone whose prayers are sincere. You satisfy the desires of all your worshipers, and you come to save them when they ask for help. I will praise you, Lord. And everyone will respect your holy name forever. Amen. We are continuing in our One Another series today with another One Another phrase, which is implied but not specifically found in the New Testament, and that is prayer. Before we consider how we are to pray together, let us first review what we mean by prayer. What is prayer? Why is it important? And why do we as Christians need to pray? Prayer is communicating with God, which explains why prayer is important. The Praying Church Sourcebook says, Jesus told his disciples, "Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these," John chapter 14, verse 12. This statement no doubt astonished the disciples until Jesus went on to explain, "I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." John 14:12-14. In other words, the disciples would be powerful in ministry because Jesus Christ was on the throne of the universe. His response to their prayers was the key to the greater things they would do. We see that prayer clearly had a high priority in Jesus' life. Luke tells us that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. In chapter 5, verse 16, and on occasions he even spent the night praying to God, Luke 6:12. Now, sometimes the question comes up, if God knows what we need, he's all-knowing, why do we need to ask him? Why doesn't he just give it to us? Give us what he knows we need. I think our tendency to forget who is serving whom, as well as our inclination away from humility and towards entitlement, answers that question for us. You know, why doesn't God just give us what we need before we ask? You know, because we're going to get confused as to who is serving who, and we're going to feel like we deserve it. God, in his wisdom, has decided, he's made this choice to act in a number of cases only in response to our request. James chapter 4, verse 2 suggests that if we are lacking something, it's because we are not asking for God's help, but rather attempting to fulfill our personal longings ourselves in a way or ways that are not God-guided. In the parable of the friend who calls at midnight, Jesus urges persistence in prayer as the way to receive God's blessing. Luke 11:5-9. Are you persistent with your prayers before God? Or do you tend to give up soon, left wondering if your prayers really make a difference? James chapter 5, verse 16 teaches us that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. It is prayer from a heart right with God that is powerful and effective. Prayer is important because in prayer, we express our dependence upon our Almighty God and then become a part of His work on earth as we follow His prompting. The great South African Reformed theologian Andrew Murray wrote in his book, The Ministry of Intercession, that Christ actually meant prayer to be the great power by which His church should do its work, and that the neglect of prayer is the great reason the church has not great power over the masses in Christian and heathen countries, and that we have far too little conception of the place that intercession ought to have in the church and in the Christian life. In intercession, our King upon the throne finds His highest glory. In it, we shall find our highest glory too. Through it, He continues His saving work. We can do nothing without it. Through it alone, we can do all work, and nothing avails without it. God has called us to pray, not so that we may obtain a blessing, but also so that we may be a blessing. The focus of our prayer should be petition, Your kingdom come. In the last days of His ministry, Jesus repeatedly emphasized the importance of prayer. He was concerned that His disciples realize they could build the church only if strengthened by His hand. Amen. Now, let's take a look at praying. First of all, praying with one another. Praying with one another as followers of Jesus. Let me draw your attention to Acts chapter 1, 12 to 14. This is immediately after Jesus' ascension. So Jesus has been with His disciples for 40 days. He's met with them on occasion. He's opened the scriptures to their minds. He's helped them to understand that what has happened to Him was what the prophets had foretold, what God had said, speaking through the prophets. And then in verse 12, after Jesus has ascended to heaven into the clouds, then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. And then verse 14 is key. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with His brothers. Now, prior to Jesus' resurrection and ascension, we really have no indication that Jesus' followers prayed together. We know they asked Jesus to teach them how to pray, but now as they obey Jesus' command to wait in Jerusalem, they are together and they are praying and they are examining the scriptures. The unity of heart and purpose that they are showing at this time prepares them for the ministry to come at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. Now, following Pentecost, we know that Peter was, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and Peter was led to speak, and he gave a message that convicted many, and 3,000 accepted Jesus as the Messiah that day. In Acts chapter 2, the end of the chapter, we read what these young believers were doing. Verse 42 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. They devoted themselves to these things, including prayer. Praying together was one of the essential activities the early church devoted themselves to. And Luke concludes chapter 2 with a summary of what was happening in that period of time. It's the end of verse 47. It says, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. These believers were coming together and they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. We have a record of this in the New Testament, to fellowship together, to breaking of bread, that includes communion, but likely also sharing meals, and to prayer. We have another reference to the church praying with one another in Acts chapter 4, verse 24. It says, when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. Acts 4:24. This is a portion here. Before we have this verse, Peter and John had been arrested by the Jewish leadership. And then they met with them and they threatened them with severe punishment if they ever talked about Jesus being the risen Messiah again. And they released them. And Peter and John went and they reported to the church, to the other believers, what had happened and the threat that had been made on their lives and likely all the believers. You guys better calm down, stop spreading this, or else you're going to be arrested and punished more harshly than you have been. The church's response is to pray together, declaring the Lord's sovereignty and power over the situation. We hear this. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. And the prayer begins, Sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in it. They're acknowledging God's sovereignty. So they do that and then they ask for his help to give them strength and courage, as verse 29 says, to speak your word with great boldness. Luke goes on to say that after they were done with this prayer meeting, you know, this crisis meeting, what are we going to do? And they turned to the Lord together in prayer. And it said that the building itself literally shook. And they were filled once again with the presence of the Holy Spirit and a sense of God's presence there. And he worked through them even more powerfully. And the church continued to grow, praying together. We get a glimpse of this in a different kind of way. I want to draw out in Philippians chapter 4, 6 and 7. It's a well-known passage. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, you know, this is a passage that many believers know and love and seek to apply in their own lives, especially when they're dealing with worrisome things. But I think we may overlook the context as Paul is writing to the Philippians. You know, he's addressing the church. He's just finished telling some of the leaders, you know, please help these women that are not getting along. They served me well when I was there in the church. Help them to reconcile. He's writing to the church body. And then he says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts, it's plural, and your minds in Christ Jesus. In these verses, believers are encouraged to join together in presenting their anxiety-causing situations to God in thankful prayer and petitions, knowing that He will respond. I trust you have or will soon come to experience the heart-guarding peace which replaces anxious emotions as believers join together in prayer to the Lord, rejoicing in His presence and acknowledging His care for all that concerns us. You know, sometimes we can really internalize things and become so focused on the problem that we seem to feel is insurmountable. And as we gather with others and share our anxiety and invite them to join us in prayer, and we pray together. Maybe it's not a personal thing that's causing it. Maybe it's something that's impacting the church family, the church body. As we pray together, the Lord speaks through the prayers. We're reminded of His promises in Scriptures as He brings it to mind to various ones who are praying. And His peace begins to replace that anxiousness. I trust we all pray as individuals. Yet there is encouragement, solidarity, and opportunity for spiritual growth when we pray with others. Do you pray if you're married as a couple? Do you pray if you have an extended family as a family? Do you have someone to you encourage and are encouraged by? As two or three of you bring your requests to the Lord together. So we've been talking about praying with one another. A second aspect of prayer that we're very familiar with also is praying for one another. Praying for one another. Acts chapter 12 begins by telling us about a time when King Herod saw that he was gaining popularity, favor with the Jews by executing Christians. Apparently, he saw his popularity grow after he had James, the brother of John, put to death, one of the disciples. So he seemed to have given that some thought, and he had Peter arrested with the intent to kill him after the Passover. Acts chapter 12, verse 5, just tells us about this. In verse 5, it says, so Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. Here, the church family was gathering and earnestly praying. We're told that the night before his execution, the Lord sent an angel to free Peter from otherwise certain death. Verses 12 to 15 tell us that there was a group praying for Peter that very night. And when Peter was released from prison, he went to the home of one of the people he knew would be hosting a prayer group and went there. The Lord answered their prayers, even though at first they didn't believe it was really Peter. You know, it gives us a glimpse here that the Lord hears our earnest prayers, even when, you know, we might not be completely convinced it's going to happen, but we bring it to the Lord with the best faith that we have, and it's Him that makes it happen. We thank the Lord for that. Now, Paul's letters to the churches are filled with references of he and his team's prayers, regularly praying for the churches and for individuals in the church. This doesn't surprise us, I'm sure, that Paul was praying for the churches that he planted and praying for believers that he had heard about and longed to meet, including the church in Rome. He hadn't been there yet, but in Romans chapter 1, 9 and 10, Paul is telling them he's praying for them. However, it might surprise us to hear that the Apostle Paul asked these churches to pray for his ministry team. Now, that may not surprise you, but I think I was a little surprised to hear that Paul asked the church in Colossae to also pray for him. Pray for him that he would share the gospel clearly. Colossians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, Paul writes, "And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains." Verse 4, "Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should." If the man God called to bring the good news about Jesus to the Gentile world would ask these young believers to pray for him that he would proclaim the message, the gospel, clearly, why should any of us feel embarrassed to ask for prayer to share the gospel clearly? You know, some of us are reluctant to ask others to pray for us. We may feel a little embarrassed that we're going to let people know that, you know, we can't handle it. You know, I thought you went to Bible school. You've been a Christian longer than I've been alive. You don't need prayer. Paul is reminding us that even he would say, "Yes, I do. Yes, I do." We all need to humble ourselves before God and before one another and say, "Brother, sister, uphold me in prayer. I can't do this myself." This is part of God's plan for us, that we would uphold one another. Thank you. Thank you. Now, it's interesting. We can see Paul's priority in his prayer request. Verse 4, let me read it again. "Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should." That's the mystery of Christ. Notice here, you know, Paul has just finished saying, you know, that he is in chains for the gospel. Paul doesn't ask them to pray that he would get out of prison. Rather, he asked them to pray that the Lord would give him the right frame of mind, clarity, that he can share the message about Jesus as clearly as possible. He may have been thinking of some of the individuals that he's coming in contact with through that day. Each one is different. God's working in each one in a different day. Pray that the Lord would give me clarity on how to encourage, how to challenge, how to reach each one of these. It's good to examine the focus of our own personal prayer requests and to ask the Holy Spirit to direct our hearts to the mind of Christ for us, rather than solely focus on maintaining our comfort. Rather, Lord, what would you have me do to be part of your will being done on this earth? Praying for and with one another. Most of us would agree it's God's plan for us, and it is a good idea. The question each of us needs to answer personally is, how am I going to be a part of this? Or how am I already a part of what God wants to do? God's plan, praying for and with one another. Do you take regular time in your schedule to pray? To come alongside the Lord and listen to him, to praise him, to thank him for his faithfulness, to bring your requests and the requests of that others have made aware for you and for this world to the Lord? Do you keep a record of your prayers? You know, as you do this, it'll help you with your persistence, among other things. Help you to see as the Lord is answering. Look at your recent prayers. Where are your prayers focused? Do you need to do any work on balance between yourself and prayers for others? Do you seek to encourage others through letting them know you are praying for them and, as the Lord gives opportunity, praying with them? And it's a blessing we can do this over the phone. Do you allow others to join you in prayer for matters which are on your heart? Remember, Jesus promised that where two or three are gathered in his name, he will be there with you. Ask the Lord to guide you in this prayer journey with him. Amen. The benediction is from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, and this is from the Contemporary English Version. I pray that the Lord Jesus Christ will bless you and be kind to you. May God bless you with his love, and may the Holy Spirit join all your hearts together. Amen. The Lord bless you. May you grow in your time of prayer together and as you come to the Lord. And thank you for joining us. Lord bless you and goodbye.